Well, good afternoon, brethren, and welcome to the Day of Atonement. Again, would like to mention the appreciation for the special music and the offertory music as well. Very enlightening, and we certainly appreciate that. As mentioned before, this is a very important day in the plan of God. And this is special for all of mankind because it teaches us the significance of God's master plan for the salvation of mankind. This is a holy day that is commanded by God. I was thinking about this day during the week, and thoughts came to my mind that I hadn't thought about before, but it's very true. This is the reason why we are here. This is the reason why God has asked us to remember this day, because without the Day of Atonement, we wouldn't be here. Without the Day of Atonement, there would not be eternal life. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. Because God is righteous and mankind cannot dwell in the presence of God in a human setting, in the flesh. Clarify that. And for that reason, Jesus Christ was our atonement. So he paved the way for in the future we can be in the presence of God. Please turn to Leviticus. We will begin in Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse 26 through 29. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also in the 10th day of the 7th month shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, Mr. Scott covered a lot of this, and I won't get into all the particulars, but he mentioned last week, and I'll just mention again, you know, we don't bring an offering made by fire. We don't do the sacrifices and everything, but we give an offering to God in the way of our blessings, as we just finished. But this was the commandment. In verse 28, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted of soul on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. So on the Day of Atonement, God commands us to afflict our souls. Fasting is the eternal means God gives us to assist us in this. Fasting brings on a small amount, all of us can contest to that, a small amount of discomfort for us, but a good indicator of God's mercy for all of us as well. The Day of Atonement is a time for fasting in conjunction with searching out our sins and repenting of them so we might be at one with God. The theme of atonement is reconciliation, becoming at one with God. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Be reading verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who in rich mercy, because of the great love with which he loves us. So this great love that he's speaking of here is given his life for the sins of mankind. Apostle Paul teaches us that Satan influenced every human being to walk in the ways of disobedience. He mentioned that those called into God's church once walked according to the courses of this world. The sermon title today is Why We Need Atonement. And my purpose will be to show you why we need atonement. So let's begin by understanding why we need atonement. Atonement means, in simple terms, doing what is necessary to bring about reconciliation or reuniting to make amends. Satan is the author of sin. And Jesus Christ said so in John chapter 8 and verse 44. He said, You are of your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus plainly said Satan introduced sin and rebellion unto the world. The Day of Atonement symbolizes the removal of Satan and the sins that cause rebellion toward God. As we all know, sin separates us from God. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We will read verse 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. In verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Adam and Eve knew that they were naked. Before, they didn't know that. They didn't pay any attention to that. A change of thinking took place in their perspective, in a way that they looked at things that occurred differently. As long as they were united with God, before they sinned, they were at one with God. They looked to Him for all of their directions. And at the process of life, in a way that pleased God. But when they sinned, their minds changed. Their formerly innocent and pure perspectives changed. They began to see evil in things. They felt ashamed. And in their nakedness, they hid themselves from God among the trees. Atonement refers to a condition of being. And the prophet Isaiah shows the condition of our society today and why we are so desperately in need of atonement for our sins. Isaiah chapter 1. We will just read verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, and broad of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. So this is our society that we have today. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Therefore, it is impossible for God to compromise in any way His law. And when His laws are broken, then they must be forgiven to be in relationship with Him. This is so important, as when we break God's laws, that we ask God in a repentive attitude to forgive us. Because we lose our relationship with God when we continually remain and get involved with sinful things. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Again, reading in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because to carnal minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Here in these verses, Apostle Paul divides people into two categories. Those who let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature, and those who follow after the Holy Spirit. And all of us would be in the first category had it not been for the life and sacrifice Jesus Christ for our sins. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning begin reading in verse 4 through 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 8, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Under the Old Testament sacrifices, Mr. Scott covered a lot of this last week, and I won't get into the things that he discussed. But under the Old Testament sacrifices, a lamb without blemish was offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And we know from reading John chapter 1 and verse 29 that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And because Jesus lived in a perfect life, he had no sins, he sacrificed himself for ours. We can be completely forgiven through repentance and the blood and sacrifices of Jesus Christ. The good relationship between God and mankind was severely damaged in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, as you know, disobeyed God's command at that time. This damage affected all the generations after that, including early generations, and it also includes you and me. Sin had come between God and mankind, so they could not have the intimate fellowship they had with God before they disobeyed his law. But somehow, in some way, there had to be an atonement for these sins of mankind. If there would ever be a relationship with God. Those who live in sin agree with sin. And we see this in the society. You know, it's a never-ending battle. You know, look like the more that they want to get involved with the wrong things in life, the more they desire to do that. But a good note to remember, brethren, and if we were continue to willfully allow sin to control our lives, we are condemned. Romans chapter 6, a verse that we all are familiar with. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Apostle Paul says in this verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So Apostle Paul was very clear in this statement. The wages, the payoff for sins that we have earned through our lifetime, if they were not forgiven through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we would never be resurrected into life again. Death would have completely control. But because of the atonement of Jesus Christ and the sacrifices of his life, he goes before the Father and pleads our case for the atonement of our sins. Under the old covenant, the blood of animals, sacrifices for the sins of the people served as a token, but could not stop the people from their transgressions. Atonement had to be made over and over again and again, year by year. Now these people would gather at the temple, and the priest would go on inside behind the veil, and he would sacrifice these animals for the atonement of the people. But they continue to sin. The next two or three weeks, they go back in the same old routine. And so that's why I mentioned at the beginning that if Jesus Christ had not atoned for our sins, we wouldn't be here. Satan would have destroyed us all long, long time ago. Hebrews chapter 10. We begin reading in verse 1. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. Verse 2, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Verse 3, but just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year. Now what this is saying here, I'll just pause here for a moment. What this is saying here, those people lived after the sacrifices that the priest made. They continued with rehearsing their sins over and over again, year after year. Come back the next year, same thing happened. But this is not true with us. With our sins, we don't have to grieve over the sins that we've had once we appear before God and ask God for his forgiveness for our sins. We go on in life, don't we? We continue to go on in life. Not saying that we won't sin again, but we don't have to grieve over the past sins that we have had because God has forgiven us for those sins. And this is the difference, brethren, with the atonement that Jesus Christ made for us. He wipes the slate clean. And we don't have to just, grieve over the things we did 2 years ago, last week, because we have appeared before God and asked him to forgive us. So this is a great thing to keep in mind. Verse 4, Hebrews 10. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, verse 5, and said, you do not want animal sacrifice to grain and grain offerings, but you have given me a body so that I may obey you. In verse 6, no, you were not pleased with animals burned on the altar or with other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures. So this is Christ talking here about his offering for our atonement. Verse 8, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or grain offerings or animals burned on the altar or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. So all of these people coming out from Israel, they had to have some type of directions. So with the instructions of God, Moses required these laws under the direction of God for those people. But they did not have God's Holy Spirit. So they didn't do well in trying to follow the ways of righteousness. In verse 9, then he added, look, I have come to you to do your will. He counsels the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants for us, verse 10, what God wants for us to be made holy by the sacrifices of the body of Jesus Christ once for all times. Verse 11, under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away the sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all times. Then he sat down the highest honor at God's right hand. Verse 13, there he waits until his enemy are humbled as a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he perfected forever those whom he is making holy. Verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also testified that this is so. First he says, verse 16, this is the new covenant I will make with my people. On that day, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts so they will understand them, and I will write them on their minds so they will obey them. And he adds, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now, when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifice. The Day of Atonement pictures an essential additional step in God's plan. This step must take place before humanity can experience true peace on the earth. The Day of Atonement involves not only the forgiveness of sin, it pictures the removal of the primary cause of sin. Brethren, we should not be surprised. We should not be ashamed. We should not be shocked that we all need spiritual growth. God is not finished with us. Apostle Paul tells us about this. This is one of the scriptures over the years that I have really enjoyed meditating on. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Because this applies to all of God's people. Philippians 1 verse 6. Apostle Paul says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So this gives us hope, brethren. God has not given up on us. He waits on us. He nurtures us and tries us to be trained in reality to live his way. And we can be encouraged by this growth process, deliberately applying the scriptures to all areas of our life. And by accepting the disciplines and guidance Christ provides, and by giving him control of our desires and goals. The Day of Atonement also shows Satan's defeat and punishment by banishment, no longer free to do anything to deceive mankind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. Read these verses from the NIV. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. Verse 20, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. So reverent fear is not the fear of a slave, a rootless master, but the healthy aspect of a true Christian. All is should have respect for the powerful God that we serve, because God is the judge of all the internal activities of the world. And he ransomed us from slave and sin, not with money, but the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So Christ's sacrifices for our sin was not an afterthought. This was not something that they thought about later on. What God decided to do was to not wait till the world spun out of control, but he made plans long before he created the universe. This plan was set in motion by the all-knowing God and creator of the universe before the world was created. So what a blessing. What a blessing it is, brethren, to know Christ's coming and his work of salvation were planned by God before the world began. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying and of the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We have read in Leviticus 16 many times about the two goats. As I said, I won't get into that part. So Mr. Scott covered most of this last week. But the unique offering of the Day of Atonement for the sins of Israel consisted of two goats. The first goat was killed, and the high priest cleansed and the sanctuary and the holy objects with its blood. The second goat, the Azazel, the goat of departure, had all the sins of the people laid on its head, bearing them to an uninhabitable land that was cut off. But here's the wonderful thing about this, brethren. Jesus Christ fulfilled the role of both sacrificial animals. He died to provide a covering of blood and opened the way. He died to provide a covering of blood to open the way to the Father, and he also bore our sins for many. The name of this holy day derives from the Hebrew Yom Kippur and can be translated as this annul, forgive, pardon, purge, put off, and covered. It's different from the Hebrew word here, different analogies here that we can come up from its meaning. But this is a very serious day in God's plan, and he has placed clear instructions in his word, the way this day should be observed. In the beginning of the sermon, I read from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 26 through 29. I'd like to continue going back to Leviticus chapter 23. And let's pick up the continuation here in verse 30. So I will read verses 30 through 32, Leviticus 23. God says in verse 30, any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month, at even from even to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. The Day of Atonement is a time of fasting, as we said before, in conjunction with searching out our sins and repenting of them, so we might be at one with God. On this day, we should pursue the opportunity to study God's Word and meditate on our lives and the changes that we need to make. Fasting causes our bodies to cry out for food and water. And without these sources that our bodies cry out, without them, we go without them for a long length of time, we will die. Things that we're fasting, doing without the day, it inflicts upon us a small amount of pain as we thirst for water and food. So I want to give you three reasons why we are to fast on the Day of Atonement. What reasons did God have in mind when he asked us to fast? Reason number one, we fast on the Day of Atonement because God commands us to do so. We read before in Leviticus 23 how we should keep the Day of Atonement. This law gives us several commands how the Day of Atonement should be kept. Fasting requires no food or drinking of any liquids for a 24-hour period. No work of any kind should be done. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest and offering before God. We do these things, brethren, because God said so. And this is the problem with our society, with the attitude that has crept in. People are not doing what God says to do. They're doing their own thing. But God gives us a blueprint. If we are to be in his kingdom, we must follow the blueprint. Reason number two. We fast on this day because fighting some demons requires prayer and fasting. We have noticed down through the years that, you know, demons are real. The scriptures show that demons are real. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Again, reading in verse 14 of Matthew 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the waters. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus said, he answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why couldn't we not cast him out? So they had all kinds of prayers with this guy, and they couldn't get rid of the demonism that was in him. Christ said, in verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would be moved. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus was teaching his disciples an important lesson about the demon world. Sometimes, in order to remove demons, it requires a greater measure of God's power. And the good news is, and we can have this greater power as well as we draw closer to God through prayer and fasting. So this is one of the reasons here that we spend this day in prayer and fasting, that we can draw closer to God. It's true, our physical bodies become weak through fasting. Our spiritual bodies become strong through prayer and Bible study. So in summation of what God has commanded us, of why God has commanded us to fast on this day, we go to reason number 3. Reason number 3, we fast to be at one with God. We fast for the removal of Satan, the instigator of sin. We fast for the forgiveness of our sins as well. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing will be there. This verse shows why the Day of Atonement is needed. It is a day that pitches at one man. The law defines sin, and breaking God's law requires atonement. For the final scripture, turn to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. So we give thanks. We give thanks for this day, brethren, for what it pictures. Atonement for our sins, the blood and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, we hope everyone will have the remaining of this day in truism, make the best of the day that is left, and hope everyone will have a very safe and meaningful Feast of Tabernacles. Please drive carefully, and we will see you back here on October the 2nd for services.